It is Labor Day, a day we celebrate the American worker, but we certainly know that many were still working to get their lives back.
Tonight, so many images of neighbors helping neighbors. This woman pausing for a moment to comfort Gloria Banker as they work to salvage what they can from her home in Spring, Texas. In nearby Houston, Brock Warnick and Colton Roberts helped their neighbors shovel out and clear away what Harvey left behind. So many trying to get their lives back. Students and volunteers coming together to clean out C.E. King High School in Houston. While Carlos Delgado and his 12-year-old son Nico sweep up dust and debris from the altar of their church in Dickinson, Texas. And Tiffany Quillen, who traveled all the way from North Carolina with donated clothing and supplies for victims of Hurricane Harvey. All of them working on this Labor Day to help those in need. So many in Texas spending this holiday weekend hand in hand, showing us all what it means to rebuild.
Support for this program comes from the Digital Broadcasting Network, presenting podcasts and web series from everyday people who have an extraordinary passion to make the world a better place. To view this podcast, visit channel713.com, or you can subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, TuneIn, or whichever podcasting service you use. Welcome to the next generation of broadcasting.
Good afternoon, good morning, wherever time you are listening to this. This is The Real Estate of Life with Kevin Riles. I want to thank you for, again, listening to this podcast. We are doing a special podcast today with Dave, the mortgage guy. I'll let him introduce himself in a second. Just want to do something to help. I've, just like you, been affected possibly by Hurricane Harvey. Today is actually my first day back in my house under a mandatory evacuation. And I was thinking while I was evacuated, how could I help? My wife and I have donated money, but how could I use something that I'm in control of to try to assist? And so I thought of a very good friend of mine who could allow me to present information. That's what I'm good at. I'm good at teaching. I'm good at getting information out. And so I want to do a series of podcasts to help those that have been affected by the storm, both those investors and those folks that are living in their homes as well. So I called Dave and asked him, or text Dave actually, and asked him whether he would be willing to come on today and talk about your mortgage options and what you need to do as far as your mortgage is concerned, or for an existing mortgage, or if you need to renovate and things of that nature. So I present to some and reintroduce to others, Dave, the mortgage guy. Dave, how are you doing, man?
Fantastic. Thank you so much for having me on there. Kevin, I was thinking about the other day, we've known each other like over a decade.
That's right.
Probably 15 years. And when I met you, you were one of the people I respected the most in the business from a knowledge standpoint. 15 years later, it's the same thing. So thank you so much for having me on today.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And no, I did not pay him to say that, but I appreciate those kind words. Dave and I have known each other. If you listen to the podcast, I told you my background. There was a time I owned a mortgage company, and Dave was my account executive for a correspondent lender at the time called Option One. In fact, I still, Dave, have that, your Option One email in your contact information. So that's how long ago this yeah, was.
We're showing our age.
Exactly. We've been been through quite a bit. So, Dave is not only a good friend, but a good dude. He's a northerner. I'm just letting the people know he's not a southerner. He's Penn State guy, you know, Philly, all that kind of stuff. But he's good people. He's become a good Texan. I wanted to, I guess, start off, Dave, by asking, well, first and foremost, how are you and your family doing?
We're good. We had no water. My in-laws pretty much lost everything and had water up there to the roof. So yesterday we were doing drywall work over there, and tomorrow we'll go and kind of remove everything out of their kitchen. So it's like with all of us, we're dealing with somebody close to us, our own home, or we're really trying to get out there to help as much as we can.
Yeah, I've been getting texts and emails and instant messages from all across the country because I went to school outside of Texas, and the images that, you know, you see are just devastating. And so there is no one that I know that it has not been affected by this storm one way or another, whether you had house damage or not, whether you had a family member or not. You know, our businesses, for instance, I know, and we'll talk about that here in a second, that you probably have some closings that are going to be delayed due to this. I just read a statistic, Dave, that says that it's $160 billion, which is Katrina and Sandy combined, as far as the damage is concerned. So that's unfathomable. That's crazy. So let's talk about mortgages and Hurricane Harvey. If someone out there is, I guess we'll start with, I have a house and I'm in a situation where maybe my house is okay, or maybe I had some damage, but I'm gonna be in an economic situation where I'm gonna be having a problem possibly paying my mortgage. You know, for the next couple of months. What are some options that I may have, and I guess pros and cons of those options, if you could go over that?
Absolutely. And I am a mortgage banker, so I work for a mortgage bank, but I've also talked to a lot of other of the bigger banks. Right now, the vast majority and everything that I've heard is that you can skip 3 months of payments, which sounds great. But then after that, those mortgage payments are due right away. Okay, so that may help you, but it really concerns me that if you take advantage of that, are you gonna be prepared to pay that in 90 days? That's a lot of money for all of us. Doesn't matter how well or how, you know, unwell you're doing financially, that's the thing that's gonna concern me. So I would say is, if you can, don't put yourself in that spot, because you could automatically put yourself behind. Now, the banks may change that. Maybe they'll be more helpful. At this point, I would assume that they're not going to and not to do that.
Yeah, that is an option. If you're out there and you think you're gonna get a lump sum of money, or and this is Kevin talking, I haven't verified this information, or some way your insurance covers the non-use of your house, and it would cover your mortgage or cover a mortgage payment, then maybe that's an option you look at, because in that particular case, you would be in a situation where, you know, you have, if your mortgage is $2,000 a month, you're out of your house for 3 months, 4 months, you get $6,000 to $8,000, you could then back pay that. But that's a dangerous option. I agree with you wholeheartedly, because, you know, if your mortgage is $2,000 a month, at the end of 3 months, you owe $6,000 plus that 4 month, you know, coming in, that's a lot. So I think, and you tell me if I'm wrong, Dave, one of the best things that I learned during Ike, because, oh, by the way, we've kind of been through this before a little bit, call your mortgage company, because sometimes some of the smaller servicers might have, you know, might have something different. We don't know, but that's the one I've heard about as well.
Absolutely. And could you just do 1 month and then still be okay? Maybe right. Not take advantage of the whole 3 months and put yourself in a jam.
Right. And ironically, today we're taping this on September 2nd. Yesterday, mortgages were due, September 1st. So this is a real situation right now. And I would assume the example that you are giving possibly would be for those that are not only owner occupants, but also investors as well.
Yeah, you know what? I don't know. I did not confirm that. Every example I said to was on their primary home. I would assume so also, because you're being affected, period. But that's another thing that goes back to what you said, which is call your mortgage company before you assume anything.
Right. And so with that, so I kind of wanted to cover folks that are currently in their house, being in that situation. You mentioned before we started taping that there are kind of two options out there for those that may need, say, additional monies, or may need to do some other things as far as their mortgage is concerned. So let's hit those. What are the options that you were referring to?
Sure. So when I think of people who are affected by Hurricane Harvey, there's really two major mortgage options, three total, but we'll go over all of them. The first one is the FHA 203K. It's a classic. It's been around forever. It's used to finance in repairs. Okay. So if you're in your home, it's been damaged. Maybe you didn't have flood insurance. Maybe the insurance is only going to pay for a part of it. Or maybe you want to do more than just what insurance was covering. I really like the FHA 203K option. It's going to cover structural. It's going to cover roof, AC, appliances that are supposed to be in the home, drywall, flooring. I mean, pretty much anything you can think of, it's going to cover your AC unit. So if you're going to stay in your home, that's a great avenue to go to finance in those repairs. Conventional loans. Well, so let me back up. FHA, the 203K is only if it's your primary home.
Okay.
All right. Conventional has a similar program called the Home Style Renovation. Roughly the same idea. But that program can be used for second homes, which is going to be Galveston, Corpus Christi, Port Aransas, areas that were affected, and investment properties. So there are options that if you own any one of those homes that is not your true primary home, that you may be able to finance repairs. So that to me is a fantastic option and probably the first one to go to if you don't have enough money that's provided by the insurance companies or covered or your own money or whatever it is.
Yeah, and I'll say this for those out there. My very first house that I purchased was a duplex, and I purchased it with a FHA 203K, as in Kevin, loan. So I have extensive experience. And of course, I've had clients use it over the years, and that is a great loan program to be able to use. It is an FHA loan, and this is Kevin talking. I'll let Dave either confirm or deny this. My experience has been it's a little bit more involved once you close as to getting your draws and, you know, getting your money and things of that nature. But it is a wonderful loan program that allows for you to do, I would think, most things that we have been affected for by Harvey. You know, roofs, you know, if you have electrical, HVAC, things of that nature, because I did all of that and the program hasn't changed, I don't think, substantially since I bought my first house many years ago.
Yeah, and a couple things to add. One, there's two versions. There's a streamline and a full FHA 203K version.
Right.
The streamline is for the easier stuff, you know, let's say just flooring maybe, right? $35,000 and under worth of repairs. If it's a bigger project, you want to use the full. And I want to add this too, and this isn't even a plug. Make sure that you talk to a lender who knows what they're talking about. Absolutely. And knows this. If they don't, look, right now, as sad as it sounds, you'll have every lender, every business in the world trying to go after this type of business after a disaster. But if they don't know the program, they're going to screw it up. You're going to have delays. You're going to have problems. So you want to make sure that you find a lender, contractors, anybody that you're going to use after a storm who is reputable, local to the area, and has experience with this stuff.
Got you. I totally agree. It is to me akin to a master's degree when you start messing with FHA 203K. I think finding a lender that's familiar with it, if you can find a contractor that has done it before and used to the draw schedule. And of course, FHA 203 requires an inspector that is approved by them to do the inspections throughout the construction process as well. So having a good team and your lender, someone like Dave, would be able to, probably recommend folks that are approved as far as inspectors and things of that nature. So that's my first option. If my insurance money or if I'm in a situation where, not everything is covered and I still need the money and I have hopefully the equity to be able to do that. Because remember, and I will say this, if you use FHA 203K, there is still a limit to what you can borrow based on how much equity you have in your house. In other words, the house, and correct me if I'm wrong, Dave, has to appraise for what you owe plus the renovations. And there needs to be enough room to do that. Is that correct?
Yeah, no. That's a fantastic point, Kevin. So simple math is if you owe $100,000, and it needs $40,000 worth of work, but your home is worth $160,000, fantastic.
Right.
If your home, you know, if what you owe in your home, and this is general, not even for a disaster, but in general in the 203K, if your home is worth $200,000 and you owe, you know, $200,000, you can't just magically get these repairs, you know, financed in. It's not a DIY, HGTV type scenario where it's just like, we're going to redo the kitchen because we want to redo it. The numbers have to be there. In our situation, a lot of the homes should be undervalued based on, you know, what has happened, the damage that was done to the home. But no, that's a fantastic point.
Right. So I will say this, and I know this because I signed up for benefits. For those of you out there that might be redlining, when I say redlining, I mean you owe $200,000, your house is worth $200,000, and let's say you don't have enough room to get the repairs. You signed up for FEMA benefits, you can apply for a low interest loan through the Small Business Administration. So in fact, when you signed up for FEMA benefits, if you gave them your email address, that's one of the very first emails that they send you, is that you may qualify for a low interest long-term loan to fix things that are not covered by your insurance. So you do have options. So I don't want you to feel like there are not any options out there. Now, I'm not an expert on what the qualifications are for that particular loan. But I know it exists because during Ike, I had a property in Galveston that got 17 feet of water, my own property, got 17 feet of water during Hurricane Ike. And luckily, my flood insurance covered most of it, but I was able to get a small SBA loan to take care of some other stuff that at the property. So that's just to throw that out there for those folks.
Well, and that's a great point, Kevin. If you, let's say you only have $3,000 worth of damage, right? Or just the floors were damaged, right? If you only got an inch of water, some hardwoods got destroyed, you need $5,000. Are you going to refinance the entire mortgage,
right,
take on the closing, stretch it out over 30 years when you could have called Home Depot, who may have 0% financing for 12 months, 24 months? So yeah, that's an awesome thing. And that's something to think about, is don't just run out, I'm going to refinance and have it all covered, when the insurance may cover part of it. And the other part, you come up with a different plan, and it may be much more cost effective than going down this route. The 203K is really if you're taking on a project and you don't have that money.
Right. So 203K is my first option. You mentioned there's one other option. What's the other option that's out there?
So the other one that you're going to hear a lot about now, because it's becoming a popular topic, is the FHA 203H. Okay, H as in hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why is because it's for disaster areas, and somebody or buyers, home buyers, would qualify for 0% down payment. Okay, it's still an FHA loan, follows the same guidelines, same mortgage insurance, same type of, you know, strong quality loan, but with no down payment. Okay, a couple big things to keep in mind: it must fall in disaster area. Honestly, we're in a disaster area. Okay.
Right.
The home, there has to be documented that the home was completely destroyed, damaged, severely damaged, things along those lines. So that's a little bit of a gray area. It's got to be your primary home. So this isn't going to be a second home. This isn't going to be an investment property because it's FHA. You'll see online that they'll say FHA loans, you know, down to a 500 credit score.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, tell us about that.
Well, yeah, exactly. So you'll see it, you assume that means, you know, anyone with over 500 is going to qualify, and that's not the case.
Right.
Lenders really dictate the credit score that they're going to go down to. So every lender may have different scores based on that. Okay. So that's something to really keep in mind. There's two things I really wanted to address on this, and I wrote down notes, so I'm going to read off the notes straight from HUD's website, no gray areas, right? You know, go from there. So the first thing is, what happens with the current home? Let's say they own a home. If somebody rents, this is a fantastic program, and it may be the one thing they needed to go and be able to buy a home, because
right,
no down payment, you can have, you know, negotiate maybe to have the seller pay closing costs, and they could literally get into a home with no money down. So that topic is going to be extremely popular in our industry because the ability to get people into homes, right? So that's the first thing. Second thing is, let's say they currently have a home, okay? Per HUD, you're going to have to obtain information that the borrower is working with the current mortgage company to address that mortgage and apply any insurance proceeds from the insurance policy toward that mortgage. So if they have a home and now they want to buy a different home because that one's damaged or whatnot, there's going to need to be some documentation that they're addressing this. It's not going to be able to just walk away from it and say, hey, that one flooded, I'm going to go buy another one. So that's something where the bank, the underwriter, everybody's going to want to document that they're trying to address that. Okay. Now, another part of that is late housing payment. So let's say that they've gotten the situation so bad that they can't make the payments, like we just discussed, right? The mortgagee, which is the bank, can disregard any late payments on a previous obligation on a property that was destroyed or damaged in the disaster, where the late payments were a result of that disaster. Okay. If they were not delinquent 3 months before the disaster. Now, what does that mean? So in theory, on paper, it's if you miss some payments because you were in a disaster area and everything else, you can ignore those. Okay. Here's the truth of it. Those late payments are going to lower their credit score.
Okay.
So it's going to be a catch 22. Don't miss the payments because you saw online that it said you could be up to 3 months late and that would be okay. That's not going to, I believe that's going to end up shooting them in the foot, because 2 months later, 3 months later, they have their credit pulled and it's under the minimum credit score.
Right.
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 So for us, the minimum credit score is 600. Okay. But they don't want to put themselves in a spot. If you can make those mortgage payments, you know, I would make them. If you can't, then you can't, and adapt to whatever you need. And then one other thing, this program is good for up to a year from the date of the disaster.
Okay. So basically until next August.
Exactly. Right. Which is awesome. Why? Because look, right now, this is the least of anyone's concern, right? It's collecting their stuff, getting over the emotional roller coaster of the whole situation. They don't have to worry about that. It may be a situation where once they get settled, they get back on track, and in 6 months they buy the home, still using these benefits.
So let me ask you this. I'm being a consumer now. I just want to, just based on your overview, it's FHA 203H. It's zero down. It is, I didn't hear, I just want to clarify, does it allow for renovation in it as well or no?
In theory, it's supposed to. The truth that matters, it's not. It's a separate program. Yes. If you're going to do renovations, do the 203K.
Okay.
Because and you can use the 203K to buy a home.
Right.
Right. Now, on paper, I've seen where they say they can be used in conjunction. But I'm not seeing anywhere where lenders are allowing it to be used.
Right.
Right. So you would prepare, I would prepare, if I was a buyer who is buying a home that was damaged, you know, in the hurricane, to do a 203K and go that route. You're going to have your down payment, which is 3.5% of the sales price. But overall, that's going to be a much
better
way to go. And I haven't seen it even really be an option in conjunction.
So, and so for those folks that are out there that are potential homeowners, what I'm hearing with the 203H is this is a potential for you to get into a home where if you were, you know, receiving some funds or having funds and able, as you and I know, to negotiate or structure a deal in which the seller pays a portion or all your closing costs, kind of going back to the days of you know, 100% financing with closing costs, you could get into a house, you know, with very little money out of your pocket, which, you know, and I always caution people this, that's actually a good thing if it's done responsibly. sometimes people during the heydays of the prior to 07, 08 were doing it irresponsibly and getting themselves in a situation. The good thing about FHA loans is because of their requirements, it almost requires you to do it responsibly as far as your debt to income ratios and things of that nature. So, just for those folks that are listening out there that may be on the fence, I was thinking about buying a house, and I honestly believe where there's chaos, there's opportunity. And right now this is truly chaos. But there might be opportunities out there where you can, purchase something with little no money out of your pocket, as long as you're able to kind of move through this process.
Absolutely.
So, just in retrospect, Dave, I'm gonna kind of get to a close here. We talked about three things today primarily. One is what you should do now as to your mortgage, and kind of in summary, that is, first and foremost, call your mortgage company. And I say this on my other podcast, don't be scared. Don't be scared to call and be proactive when it comes to credit. I did a whole podcast on credit, and a lot of folks mess themselves up because they are afraid to call when they're in a situation. And I've you can tell me if I'm wrong, I've seen it where if you are proactive with your creditor, then that it works out way better in the end for you than you hiding if you have an issue. And especially now, if you have an issue, right now with Hurricane Harvey, everyone understands. In fact, I got an email from my own mortgage company on Sunday saying, "Hey, we can tell from your address you're in an affected area. Let us know and hear your options." So they are aware that we are in a declared disaster zone. So in summary, call your mortgage company. You can possibly get a 3-month deferment, but be careful with that. And if you are in a situation from a renovation standpoint that you don't have enough money, but you possibly have enough equity, FHA 203K is in, I'm saying Kevin, but take 203K is an option. And then if you are in a situation where you're trying to purchase, a 203H as in Hurricane, as you mentioned, are your options. Any other kind of general advice you would give for those that are affected, that are in, let me say this. What if Dave, the mortgage guy, I was purchasing a house, I was under contract, and the bank had done the appraisal, I'm moving towards closing, and this weekend happened, the hurricane happened. What should I expect next week, assuming the house is okay, assuming the house will be okay? Will I be able to close on my house?
Yeah, that's a great question, Kevin. So the process, and this is true for all mortgages, is if the appraisal was done before the hurricane, which all of them would have been, then before closing, they have to have the appraiser go back out to the home, verify that there wasn't any damage. It may be exterior only photos, maybe exterior and interior photos. It depends on the loan. Once they have that report back, then they can close. Okay, so right now I've had people who were going to close last week that they're delayed because obviously the appraisers are trying to do these as fast as possible. So if right now you don't know when you're closing, you want to call your bank to find out when is the appraiser going back out, and then a timeline that they think it's going to take before you can close on that home. And that's assuming that there's no damage, right? Because there is areas where there isn't any damage. If there is damage, that's a completely different thing. At that point, it may no longer be that you're going to be buying the home.
Right. And so, and I know this is a tough question for especially those that might be in the situation. Dave, what if my lock was about to expire on my rate?
Yeah, that's a great question. Right now, I'm actually personally paying to extend the rate locks, right? Now that's me as Dave, your mortgage guy.
Right.
And that's the way is Bank of America going to do that as Wells Fargo? I don't know. I don't think that they will, most likely.
Right.
But keep in mind, the goal is to get you in the home as fast as possible after that. But that's another question, is that your rate may have expired during the hurricane. And then you need to ask your bank, hey, who's covering this cost? How much is it going to be? Things like that.
Yeah. So you heard it here first. For those of you that already have another mortgage company, God bless, and I'm well, hopefully I do stuff. One of the reasons I like smaller mortgage companies, and I say smaller in relative, more personal attention that you'll find folks that'll do things like that. So I commend you for doing, because not everybody will pay for a lock extension. You and I both know that those are not inexpensive, especially if you have multiple deals up on the board. I always tell people in the podcast, I keep a board on my deals. I don't know if you do the same thing, but whatever your method is, however many deals you have going on, if people are in that situation, that's not anything that's expensive. So I commend you for doing that, Dave.
Thank you.
If people have questions, you are the social media genius that you are. How do they find Dave the Mortgage? And when we keep saying Dave the Mortgage Guy, he does have a last name, but his moniker, his what he is known for, what his little car says is Dave the Mortgage Guy. So how would I give his actual last name when he is known as Dave the Mortgage Guy?
Well, and we're 30 minutes into this call, and now I'm going to have to correct you. It's actually Dave, your mortgage guy.
Your mortgage guy. Oh, my gosh. Okay.
I said 30 minutes ago, and I just felt bad. And I also thought that maybe you'd catch yourself, and then it wouldn't be awkward. But I had to say
I am branding the wrong words. Dave, your mortgage guy. I apologize.
No, you're fine. So it's DaveYourMortgageGuy.com. Instagram, I believe I'm Dave, your mortgage guy. Facebook, you can look up Dave, your mortgage guy, and you'll see my Facebook page. My phone number personally is 832-689-6012. And I'll tell everybody I'm the easiest guy to get a hold of. So even if I'm not, and I'll even put this out there, even if I'm not handling your mortgage and another lender is, you're already in the process, it's too late to change lenders, but you have questions or you need guidance on what you're dealing with, please give me a call.
Hey, Dave, I appreciate you doing this, especially taking time away from helping your family member get back up and running. And again, Dave, your mortgage guy, guys, really good guy. He's a Penn State fan, but otherwise he is a good guy and a beautiful family with lovely wife and two kids and just, you know, really good people. He's sincere as to he's easy to get in touch with. And then also, he will answer your question even if it's not a deal that he is working on. So with that, I appreciate it again, Dave. And by the way, folks, we had planned to actually record another podcast that was dealing with just different types of mortgage programs that people may not have heard about on September 1st. Obviously, the storm kind of changed that, and I thought this would be a much better. So Dave, your mortgage guy, will be back to do a normal podcast once we are out there. For those of you out there that are dealing with the storm and may be in situations where you are just tired and, you know, you're at your wit's end, my prayers are with you. I completely and totally understand that. I'm truly praying, asking God to allow for your healing, not only in your physical house, but also mentally. I know this has been real tough for a whole lot of people, including my family. So our prayers are out there with you. So with that, again, thanks, Dave. I appreciate it. And thank you for listening to The Real Estate of Life with Kevin Riles. If you have a question about anything that we've talked about on The Real Estate of Life with Kevin Riles, a real estate question or a life question, no matter what, email me at kevin@kevinriles.com. Again, that's kevin@kevinriles.com. I'll get it. I'll make sure that I respond to you via email, but also I want to kind of collect these answers so that I could help everyone else. So again, kevin@kevinriles.com.